The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, Pauhana Friday, end of the week. Taking a deep breath. Going to look back at the news here before we slide into that nice, relaxing weekend. As you heard on the news break, if you were of a mind to take a vacation, the airfares are low, and certainly out here in Hawaii, they're practically giving the hotel rooms away. So there's my my expression of loyalty to my local state government here. If it weren't for the TSA, this would be an absolute wonderful place to be taking a vacation right now. The economic news otherwise, again in the news break, the Dow ended about 34 points down. That's kind of noise. I think the important part of the stock market is low volume. There's not a lot of people out there doing a lot of trading right now. But interesting story. We reported on this earlier. It's starting to actually gain some wider area coverage. Members of the U.S. House Financial Services Committee, during the whole turmoil over bailouts in banks at the end of last year, were buying and selling stocks in those banks as well. They knew what was going to be done in Congress. They were taking advantage of it. Frankly, it smells like a whole lot of insider trading. And I think it should be investigated as such. Absolutely should be investigated. A lot of congressmen making a lot of money off of our misfortune, and definitely needs to be looked at. Now, over in China, China is renewing its calls for the end of the dollar as the international reserve and trade currency, and they're increasing their calls for a new currency, an international monetary unit. It's not tied to any one country. It is basically tied to the International Monetary Fund, who administer it. It's basically a super federal reserve. But the net result is that demand for the dollar, again, took a major hit. Every time they talk about this new super national currency, the dollar is going to take another major hit. And the Chinese are now saying they don't want to buy treasury bills anymore because they can't count on them. What China wants to buy from the U.S., is gold. Everybody wants gold. And U.S. real estate. This is starting to look like a repeat of the Japanese buying frenzy of the mid-1990s. It caused all kinds of problems here in the United States. But, you know, the bottom line is the Chinese have got the money because they've got the manufacturing, and our government is just desperate enough to go along and sell them whatever they want. Now, we don't have a lot of gold left. The United States government does not have enough gold to cover its debts. Hasn't since the Nixon era. That's why they started all these little land grab programs under the Environmental Protection Agency. They're going to grab this piece of land. This is a heritage river. You can't go in there. This is a wilderness here. This is a roadless zone. They have all these dozens and dozens of little programs. And the reason is to conceal the true scale of all the land grabbing that's been going on. Because the purpose of grabbing this land and locking it away from you has nothing to do with the environment and nature and preserving it for the future. This is the collateral on the government's loans. When the U.S. government goes broke, they're going to be a lot of foreigners coming in saying, we own the Grand Canyon now, or we own the Kings Canyon, or we own Sequoia, or we own this, or we own that. We own the Grand Staircase Escalante Monument because of the non-payment of debt. And we're all going to wind up as tenants on the land where we used to be citizens, unless we are willing to exercise the concept of odious debt. We didn't agree for the government to be borrowing money on our behalf and spending it on wars and Israel and more wars and fluffy things for, you know, Wall Street and the bailouts and all this stuff and more wars and more bombs and more wars and everything. And under the concept of odious debt, the people of nations have been able to simply write off the debts that their government incurred without their permissions. We need to keep that in our minds, because when the U.S. government collapses, and it does seem to be headed that way, we need to understand that there are rights for the people under international law where we can simply say, we didn't borrow it, we didn't agree to it, sorry you're losing several trillion dollars, but hey, it wasn't up to us. We told the government not to borrow it. Now, as the foreclosures continue to escalate, we are seeing renters, people who rent, are running into problems. And not just with the foreclosures. My lovely wife and I are in our present domicile because during the great real estate froth up where everybody was selling and making money and buying and selling and everything, renters were routinely being kicked out of rental properties so the rental properties could be flipped. And we literally had to move twice within the space of 6 months. And, the first time we had to move was not pleasant. We wound up in a really very unhappy location. We lucked out this last time. We lucked out this last time, and we're in a really, really nice place. But, you know, it's just the situation. People who are not in mortgages, they haven't borrowed the money, they're not part of the subprime crisis, and yet they're being dumped on as well. So it's a huge, huge problem. Before we get much further into the show, just a reminder that Donovan is in the control room. He's twiddling the dials, watching out for us, has hand hovering over that delay switch, and our phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. As we get further into the show, if there's something that you're angry about or you disagree about or you just have a Michael Jackson joke or something to tell, you know, go ahead I'm kidding about that last one. Pick up the phone, call, and we'll put you right on the air. Speaking of Michael Jackson, just real briefly, because I don't intend to devote a lot of time to him, but, you know, obviously all the newspapers around here, he's the lead story. The situation about just how did he die, they're just going to be milking that like crazy. Going around the radio station earlier today, it's like, you know, every time I stop the dial, it was another Michael Jackson song playing. It's like, you know, the death of the Messiah or something in terms of its social impact. And meanwhile, of course, the important thing, when I got up this morning, I said, it's going to be all Michael Jackson all the time. Sure enough, it pretty much is. What is being done behind our backs when America is looking at Michael Jackson? And sure enough, they are trying to ramrod through this new mystery environmental bill through the House. Nancy Pelosi is out there insisting that it be passed before the July 4th break, which means it has to be passed today. And they're trying to ramrod it through. It's on C-SPAN right now. They're talking pro and con. The problem is, with this bill, it's H.R. 2454. The problem is, the bill is still being revised. It's 1,200 pages long. Would take 20 hours just to read it, let alone analyze, digest, and summarize. We have another case just like the USA Patriot Act. They're shoving this huge bill at the Congress and saying, you must pass it, you must pass it, you must pass it. Death, doom, destruction, grief, mayhem if you don't pass it. I mean, we saw this with the Patriot Act. We saw this with the TARP bill. That was being arm-twisted through Congress by Pelosi without letting the members of the House of Representatives actually read it. And so now they're pushing this whole thing through. It is already known that this bill contains the carbon tax, the cap and credit scheme. Barack Obama is already admitting publicly this is going to cost Americans $700 per household per year. And I know if you're rich like Barack Obama or like the Congress, another $700 a year doesn't sound like that big a deal. But when you are struggling to hang on to your home and your business, and you're already up to your neck in taxes, and another $700 bill is going to be dumped on you, you know, that is a serious concern, especially because they're trying to ramrod it through. Congress is not even being allowed to read the bill. Nobody knows what's in there. And they're still revising, and stuff is getting shoved in. There's all kinds of pork barrel going to be put into this thing before they get out of here. And what is really annoying about this, it's going to the floor. It's going to the floor. Whether it'll be voted on before midnight tonight or not, we don't know. But what's annoying is the Competitive Enterprise Institute has basically blown the whistle. The Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. government agency that is supposed to be on top of the environmental climatic situation here, basically was keeping a report under wraps. There was a report. They'd done their own study about what was going on. It was an internal report, and they kept it under wraps because the report directly contradicts the administration's agenda of regulating, meaning taxing, carbon dioxide. Now, the report says that the Environmental Protection Agency simply adopted the UN 2007 Fourth Assessment, basically is relying on outdated research, and is ignoring all the new developments, including a continuing decline in global temperature, and new research that says, okay, the water vapor and hurricanes aren't going to go the way we were originally saying. In other words, the U.S. government is cherry-picking data to sell you a carbon tax. And they know it. They know their data is not current or accurate. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Cat's Acadia Public Radio.
To the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're juggling all kinds of news feeds here. We're just getting this one in from Los Angeles. They have completed the autopsy of Michael Jackson, and after getting through all the remains of the plastic surgery, they've discovered there's nothing of the original Michael Jackson actually left in there. So, moving right along here, well, sort of hostile room here. I wanted to get back here to this environmental situation here because what's going on is you have the EPA report admits the government knows that more recent research is showing that the Earth is actually cooling. But the goal here is to justify another tax on you. That's why they focus on carbon dioxide. There are far worse greenhouse gases out there, methane and water vapor, but they cannot be blamed on people. So they have focused obsessively on carbon dioxide because you're a carbon-based life form. You exhale carbon dioxide. That makes you a sinner, and that means you must pay to atone for the damage that you inflict on planet Earth just by being here. Like I said, I think this whole global warming carbon dioxide thing is really an expression of a lot of self-hatred by some of these very, very rich people out there, and they're taking it out on you. We have a caller on the line, Steve in Canada. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. You had a caller last night that was calling about your opinion, I guess, on what's going on in Iran, and you brought up very rightly the fact that you should be questioning the election of 2000 and 2004 as far as stolen elections go. And in my mind, I believe that that is the key to everything based on what I'm seeing and hearing is there's a huge movement going on right now that is leading up to the next, you know, elections coming up. And I honestly don't think anything can be changed unless the voter manipulation and voter fraud can somehow be addressed by the citizens, somehow, some way, because you can have all the best citizens running for office in so many areas.
Like Ron Paul.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, everybody knows he got ripped off in so many areas there, and why he didn't fight it more, I don't know. Maybe he felt it wasn't the right time to do it.
I think that was basically it. I think Ron Paul recognized that if the American people really came to understand that the elections were rigged and fraudulent, that it delegitimized the entire government. Of course, at this particular point, between the torture and being lied into the war and all the rest of this stuff, I figured the American people must be on drugs because they are absolutely not responding to these outrageous behaviors by our own government, and yet somehow the TV media can say, ooh, Iran is a problem, and everybody's out there waving the flag saying, yes, Iran is a problem, Iran is a... Tell me what to think, please, almighty TV networks.
But and, you know what, Mike?
Yeah.
I think the people are responding. I just think the only way that anybody would know if they were responding was if it was on TV. They can control the fact through their media empires that we don't know if Joe Five Doors Down is responding or half the population is responding. We don't know. I think the people are. I think the people have woke up. Mm-hmm. I think that it's gotten to the point now where people do realize that they're being lied to on a massive scale and are ready to do something, and this environmental bill that's going through will wake up even more people when they see gas go up by $1 a gallon and see a lot of other things go up and realize that they're getting scammed here. I believe there are more people awake than what we realize. It's just we're being lied to by the media and led to believe that no one knows what's going on, that we're all just sleeping, happy campers, everything's good. Do Do you believe differently? I don't know.
Well, I know more and more people are definitely aware of what's going on, but I have to admit, I've sort of gone past the point where I expected the Americans to be much more visible and vocal about it. I feel a lot like that character of the lawyer in Boston Legal in that wonderful episode they had, Stick It, where he's defending this tax protester in his sum up, and he's saying, I thought when we found out about Abu Ghraib and warrantless wiretaps that the American people would stand up and say, I've had enough, I'm not going to go along with this anymore, and yet continually it doesn't happen. Now, I am encouraged by the fact that I'm finally starting to see more and more young people who are realizing that the world they're about to inherit, the country they're about to inherit, is really in terrible, terrible shape. And they're very scared and worried because now they're understanding, you know, if the country is pushing this hard toward war, they are going to be out there on the front lines catching the bullet unless they do something to stop it. So, and maybe it's just because I've been doing this for 16 years. But we really have crossed the point where I honestly thought that moral, patriotic Americans would have said, okay, this is it. We've gone across the line. It's time to do something about it. And to sit in your front of your television and your radio and say, yes, I agree, things are terrible, that's all well and good. But at some point, because obviously our government has completely abandoned even the pretense of doing anything that represents the will of the people, at some point, we here in the United States of America, we're going to have a crisis, one way or the other. I keep hoping that the federal government will collapse of its own indebtedness, and we may see that in August, September. But, you know, I wish the American people showed a little more spine.
Joyce Riley of the Power Hour on GCN in the mornings, right? You've heard of her, at least, anyways?
I've heard of her, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, she was a part of a march of 35,000 nurses that were rising up against the treatment of the war veterans coming back from Iraq.
Okay.
Not a 35,000 nurses marched. Not a single video on TV. Nothing. There's been other huge marches that have happened throughout North America that you never see a lick of. And this is what I'm saying. I believe that there are more people out there. I just don't know how, I mean, how do we, on a massive scale, all become aware of the fact that we're all aware? Because I believe that there are people willing to stand up. It's just nobody realizes it. And when you've got the mainstream media continually at a unbelievable level knocking anyone down that thinks opposite of the government as a kook or a conspiracy theory, I'm calling from Canada, and I can't believe the propaganda on my local radio station, and yet I thought that they were kind of on my side, you know, open thinking to a certain extent. But things have changed in the last 2-3 weeks, I'll tell you, where the people are just going right along with the government line. But
well, they're scared. It's a fear reaction.
Oh,
it's a fear
absolutely.
Reaction. Yeah.
But I think a lot of it, really, honestly, and I know that you know some people that have done some investigation on vote fraud, but I think that there should be a serious push on the citizens to focus on that for the next election. Not
I agree with you. I agree with you. Steve, we've got
to
let you go. Steve, we're at the end of the segment. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to have to let you go here, but you're absolutely right. Until we get honest elections in this country, we're not going to get the situation any better. And until we get elections in this country, honest elections, we've got no right to talk about Iran. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network. Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about Carbongate, how the Environmental Protection Agency has suppressed their own internal report, because it basically acknowledges that the EPA has been relying on outdated data to support the administration's carbon taxing agenda. and pointedly went out of its way to avoid more recent data and analysis, including the fact that the Earth is in a cooling trend right now, in order to continue to sell this carbon tax credit. And I was reading in the chat room over the break where a lot of our members are in there talking about how the children and their family are coming home from school totally brainwashed into green this, green that, the Earth is in danger and it's all the fault of humans, and so mommy and daddy have to pay taxes to help doing this whole carbon thing. And basically, they're brainwashing the next generation of Americans to accept carbon taxes as a fact of life and government intrusion into their lives. How your thermostat should be set, what clothes you're allowed to buy and wear, just complete government dictatorial control over our lives. All to fight global warming, which the EPA is admitting in this report has gone away. So it's not about making a better world. It's just about more taxes, more control over your life. The U.S. federal government has grown out of control. It's continuing to grow. It's like a cancer. It is a cancer on the nation. It is growing out of control. It is gobbling up resources any way that it absolutely can. And then on top of that, I mean, here we have the ship of state sinking out from under us. And Barack Obama and Congress are down there at the keel with an axe, chopping larger and larger holes in there, thinking, well, this might improve things. So the United Nations now is trying to implement a plan for what is called sovereignty fee or compliance fee or whatever. Basically, the United Nations wants to institute a global tax on all human beings. Yet another tax. Like we're not taxed enough. Yet another tax from the United Nations on all of us so that they can go on pretending that Israel is not committing war crimes in Gaza. And then go on pretending that Israel is not in violation of its own membership agreement with the United Nations. For all that the UN has failed to do over the last several years, now they want to be paid for it. Nice work if you can get it. And Barack Obama is going along with it. Barack Obama is preparing to volunteer Americans to pay this new global United Nations tax. Now, I don't know what dictionary Barack Obama has there in the Oval Office, but in my dictionary that I have here, volunteer means I get to choose whether or not I'm going to do something. Barack Obama does not get to volunteer me on my behalf. I have not yielded that authority to him. It is not in the Constitution where he gets to make those kinds of choices for us. Barack Obama has way overstepped the limits of his office in going out there and saying, sure, Americans will agree to pay this global tax to the United Nations. I don't think so. Now, somebody wrote in during the break to say on this issue of the odious debt that the creditors to the United States are already at work trying to find a way to change the rules and change the laws so that we, the American people, will not have a legal means to say we do not owe you for the money that our government borrowed for purposes other than our welfare. They're trying to basically undo that concept, even though it's been used many times as plenty of legal precedents. They're trying to create a case of saying, well, Americans are so rich, it really shouldn't apply to them, and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is, I don't care what lawyers they have, what judges they have, and so forth and so on. The bottom line is, when the federal government of the United States collapses, and outsiders come in and say, we own the land you are living on now because of this piece of paper, you as the American people have a right to say, I don't recognize the authority of that piece of paper. My signature's not on it. You come on this land without my permission, I will fight back by any and all means necessary. Because all of these besuited imbeciles with their pieces of paper running around this country have put us into the mess that we're in. We have been legislated into total paralysis. We have too many people who've grown too rich on scams and swindles and pyramid schemes. They don't know manufacturing. They don't want to know manufacturing. They could care less. Their goal is to get as rich as they can, as fast as they can, on the backs of other Americans, and they don't care how they do it as long as they get the money and skedaddle and stick everybody else with the debt. Now, speaking of debt, speaking of politics, and speaking of corruption, we just got done with this whole scandal in Great Britain over the expenses, where the members of Parliament were just taking all this taxpayer money and they were just playing games with it to basically loot the system for their own benefit. Ooh, big shock there. You want to talk about some people who ought to be waterboarded to find out what's going on. Members of Parliament, those are the ones right there. Or take them over to the Tower. They got some real serious persuasion equipment over there. And Britain's history is full of precedents of actually using it. Okay? Maybe get into, like, you know, some of the things they used on Richard II there toward the end there. You historians know what I'm talking about. So here in the United States of America, in the Congress, the sweetest smelling Congress in the world, Congress has just allocated $4 billion for congressional expenses. $4 billion. I know in this era of trillion-dollar bailouts, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but if you're making $50,000, $60,000 a year, $4 billion is a lot of money. Because it works out by simple division. We're talking millions of dollars for every single Congress critter. Millions of dollars for expenses. Huge, vast sums of money for expenses. I mean, forget what they're being paid. Forget their salary. It's pork barrel. Just stand out there in Congress and just say, sweet, sweet, come and get it. Here it is. Taxpayers are going to just keep that trough filled just as high as they can. And it wasn't all that long ago, one of the members of the House of Representatives wants a protective Lucite or Lexan shield around the visitor's gallery. And I think it's a good idea because any tourists who walk into that gallery smelling of money, those congressmen will be up over that rail tearing them apart in just a split second. So I think that's a good idea. We've got to do that. All right, we're going to switch over here to Iran because I'm fed up with the U.S. federal government, which is fair enough. They're fed up with me by now, I'm sure. Yesterday we reported how the so-called Iranian revolution is fizzling out. It's falling down. Further protests and demonstrations have been put on hold, postponed, and Mousavi's supporters are basically, they're sulking. They're sore losers. Their guy didn't win. And they're just stamping their feet and they're throwing tantrums. And now they're throwing tantrums because the death of Michael Jackson has completely taken over the Twitterverse. And they're over on the side saying, Iran, Iran, Iran. And nobody's paying attention anymore because it didn't work. You know, Twitter has an even shorter attention span than network television. If you don't get your point across on that first day and you don't achieve some results, it's over. It's already gone. So yesterday, Mousavi is out there and he's saying he wants his supporters to release green balloons over Tehran to show the strength of the protest. And we got a video of this protest, this symbolic green balloon thing. It's up at whatreallyhappened.com. And by golly, it is just amazing. Beautiful footage of the skies over Tehran and green balloons as far as 2 or 3 feet. And there must be at least 20 balloons up there. And again, it's just, this thing is over. The coup d'etat has failed. The coup d'etat has failed. I am still getting hate mail from all the people screaming, you know, we've got to support democracy and we've got to support democracy around the world. And, you know, we don't even have it here in the United States until we get rid of those electronic voting machines and get an honest election system back in this country. But that's absolutely the reality there, that we have no right to be screaming about democracy in any other country until we can guarantee that we have it here. As Steve from Canada pointed out, the 2000 and 2004 elections, everybody knows they were stolen. We don't have democracy in this country until that is corrected and undone. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to get back to Iran. 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down. tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Our phone number is 800-259-9231. The phone lines are open at the moment here. Now, getting back to Iran here, a couple more stories. And I've hit this point before, and I want to hit it again because I'm getting all this hate email saying, we've got to bring democracy to those people in Iran because they have no idea what it's all about. Yeah, they did. They had a democracy in 1953. The U.S. took it away from them. They just finished democratic elections. Okay? And the problem is people are, the people who are causing this kerfuffle, they wanted their guy to win, and they're being sore losers. But the bottom line is, for all this talk about bringing democracy to Iran, I just want you to consider something very carefully here. Because an overthrow of the government, and that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about Ahmadinejad versus Mousavi. They're talking Khomeini has to come down. The mullahs have to come down. They're talking complete replacement of the government. Under that scenario, there's only two possibilities. One, Mousavi will get in, and because he represents only a minority of the Iranian people, he will never allow democratic processes or an honest, open vote. Because he can't. He'll be voted out of office the first time he does. Or alternatively, Mousavi will be kicked out because of his links to terrorism against the U.S., and they'll reinstall the son of the Shah, which is why all these protests all across America, somebody showing up in a van handing out the flag of the Shah for all these protesters to wave around. Okay, that's what's going on here. So, anyway, that's what's going on in Iran. They're not bringing back democracy there at all. Now, before we get to this caller, we've got a caller waiting on the line here. Obama, despite his claims that the U.S. is not involved with any of the problems going on in Iran, Barack Obama's administration is moving forward with plans to subsidize the Iranian dissident groups for another $20 million in the form of USA aid grants. The U.S. government is paying for the protests in Iran. $400 million from the Bush administration, another $20 million from Barack Obama. That's what's going on. We're going to go to the phones. Rick in Kansas. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yes. I'm actually scared. I think my serotonin reuptake committed inhibitors have stopped working or something.
The expiration date, huh? Got to watch those expiration dates.
Or the fluoride in the water or something like that, because Obama has just taken the last step to kill our democracy entirely. Okay, now we're going to be locking up people who have done nothing wrong indefinitely. And we did that with enemy combatants. And we said it was only going to affect people that were not of this country. And then we started locking up Americans as enemy combatants. And it's basically a king, because a king, all we have is a rotating king now. Because a king locks up people that they don't like. Okay? And if any American thinks that this new rule is not going to affect them, I mean, all they have to do is look at World War II, where they locked up the Japanese in internment camps because they didn't like them. They didn't like their political, where they came from politically.
Well,
you know,
the warning here is, I mean, we keep seeing repeatedly over and over, and every time it goes public, they'll back off and they'll say, we're sorry, we didn't really mean it, but we're seeing a consistent pattern of attempting to redefine terrorism downward to now include what would normally be considered expressions of dissent covered by the First Amendment. And now they're saying protests are low-level terrorism. No, protests are not low-level terrorism. Protests are protected public political speech by the First Amendment. And the government is trying to redefine terrorism so people, you know, ooh, if you go out there and say vote yes on no, you know, you become eligible to be locked up and tortured if, in point of fact, the no has a very strong support. I mean, we're already hearing talk about passing laws to not only make Holocaust questioning a crime, but to make questioning of 9/11 a crime. They're even talking about laws to ban criticism or questioning of the global warming agenda. I mean, that is how extreme out of control this whole situation's getting.
Mm-hmm. And I think Americans really need to be scared of this new indefinite or
No, they don't need to be scared. They don't need to be scared. Rick, they don't need to be scared. They need to be angry. They need to be enraged. They need to be rigidly pissed off.
The government will just lock them up if they're angry.
Well, they can't lock up all 300 million angry Americans because then there's nobody left to till the fields and hammer the nails and take out the trash and lay the roads and bury the dead and fix the sewers. If we're all angry, they can't lock us all up. They're going to lock up enough to try and create an example. But, you know, we're at the point right now where I don't care how fanatically supportive of the government people are. They've got to be waking up to the realization that what is going on in the United States of America right now has got nothing to do with what the United States is supposed to be as a country and the principles for which it's supposed to stand.
Yeah, you do have a point, but I just hope that they, you know, don't lock up all the leaders, because the leaders are the ones that will really get the American people. I mean, the leaders against the current form of dictatorship we have.
Well, that's the advantage of a leaderless resistance, because there are no figureheads that can be locked up, because you throw a bunch of people in jail and everybody else is already self-directed. And, you know, they're not waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. And that's the reason why leaderless resistance is almost impossible to deal with. It's the core of any true guerrilla movement and revolution. There are no figureheads that stand out that you can throw in jail. And even if you do, it tends to anger people more. I mean, did locking up Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu really change things in South Africa? No,
You're right.
It didn't. It just angered the opposition that much more.
You're right. I think, like you said, it's all going to come to a head by the end of this year. I think you said that.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think we're really at the looting the nation stage. The last official act of any government is to loot the nation. That appears to be what they're doing. They're just passing taxes and grabbing the money and putting it in their pocket and having a lot of fun. They are not doing anything that is consistent with the actual long-term recovery of our economy. They're just having a fun time, and, hey, if it works out, fine, and if it doesn't, I've got my golden parachute already funded.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike, for taking my call and letting me vent a little.
Well, you got it, Rick. Thanks a lot. Call in again, and thank you for the information that you've got coming in there. All right, moving right along here. Interesting story. We commented on this a while back when we were talking about the audit the Fed bill that Ron Paul is attempting to put through. And I predicted at that time the Federal Reserve is never, ever, ever going to allow it to happen. They really they'll find some way. They'll buy enough congressmen. They'll buy the president. They'll assassinate anybody who's supporting this thing. Today, believe it or not, Bernanke came out with this veiled threat that auditing the Federal Reserve will collapse the economy, which is one of the scenarios I postulated. They would basically, rather than admit to the American people how badly we've all been ripped off, they just crash the whole economy. That's their doomsday, their nuclear option. And what this is on the same moral level as an executive who's been embezzling from his own company, and he knows the auditors are coming over to find out where the money went, so he sets fire to his own company. He burns the building down to the ground, say, oh, what a horrible accident, my goodness, and the records were all in there, and there were no backups. Golly gee whiz, I guess that kind of ends it. We saw the same thing in the Oklahoma City bombing. Most people don't remember when the Oklahoma City bombing was bombed by the crazed lone nut lunatic, registered U.S. Patent Office, White House. The documentation for the upcoming hearings into the assault on Waco, Congress was going to have hearings on how the BATF and the FBI messed up the Branch Davidians Church at Waco, Texas. And all the paperwork had been collected together, and it was all in one place in the Murrah Federal Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and it was destroyed in this so-called domestic terrorist bombing of the Murrah Federal Building. You know, oh, golly gee whiz, I guess you're going to have to hold those hearings into the assault on Waco without any of the official paperwork. It's an old, old scam, and that's what's going on. Sir Bernanke is threatening the nuclear option. If you dare peek in our books, we will destroy the economy. All right, that's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Saturday for our end-of-the-week wrap-up. Until then, stay safe, be well, be angry, be skeptical, be healthy, and aloha, America.